It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go on the air?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
All right, you're live. Hey, everybody. I'm always proud when I say I'm Norma Adams-Roy, and you are tuned in to I Know What Thinking, and we were so how we can do better with our bodies. But first, let me talk about masks. I just keep it on to remind everybody that we're still dealing with different variations of COVID, and I understand that there are new variants now. But I just want to say I take it off because I can kind of be a little lax, but when I go out in Walmart, my favorite place and all that, I keep it on or any, you know, public gathering. And it's a reminder, and I'll take it off for now. And so anyway, Texas Metro News is one of the publications, Garland Journal, and then, of course, iMessenger Media is an online product. All of the leadership of publisher, Cheryl Smith. Now, she's a New Jersey product, but we allow her to claim Texas for now. But we're very proud that she's among us. So today we've got wonderful, very informed guest who's going to share a lot with us, and I'm looking forward to that. Let me go ahead and bring him in, and then before I allow him to say anything, let's bring him in, and we're not going to allow him to speak just yet, but you see his face. And everyone, this is Travis Wortham, and he's going to talk about a lot of things with us today. He is, okay, all right, let's see, let's we can work out. Okay, he's got the sound now. All right, very good, very good. Okay, I'm not going to allow you to speak yet until I tell everybody who you are. This is Travis Wortham, and he is a veteran youth and family counselor and consultant, speaks, and his issues are youth and family issues. Now, that covers a wealth of issues, including gangs, bullying, drug use, and choices that young people, teenagers, preteens, what have you, choices that they make during their formative years that create a lifetime of pain. Now, Wortham for many years, one of the state's leading juvenile correction facilities, and he would counsel people who were very aggressive and violent, and he would also work with their families. And he's got a lot of success stories from that. Now, one of the things that I kind of also want to talk about with him today is that he recently launched and had his first his debut signing, I believe it was a debut signing, for a successful book that is called Creating Monsters or Raising Champions, which is going to be. And then the subtitle is What's Wrong with These Kids? And he uses colloquial language. What's wrong with these kids? And so he will discuss the various aspects of the book with us today, and an added bonus is that he's going to talk with us about a possible link. I use the word link between the increased gun violence and youth violence and what have you, and how that might relate to some topics that he deals with in his book. So good morning, Travis.
Good morning. And thank you for having me on again.
You are so welcome. So let's just get right in to this discussion. Now, the title, as I just gave, the book is Creating Monsters or Raising Champions. What's wrong with these kids? Go ahead and from your perspective as the author, tell the public, what is this book about?
For
almost
40 years, I have worked with violent, aggressive, and emotionally disturbed kids and their families, and I've worked with families who raise just phenomenal. And kids get this on many, many levels. That's part of my DNA and who I am.
Yeah.
I've gone into schools and I've told principals, I want you to give me 8 of the worst boys you've got.
Wow.
Wow. It doesn't matter to me. I have learned through that process that when you get at the heart of kids and why they what they do,
yeah,
and help them to get to lock in to the person that God has created them to be.
Okay.
They don't go against themselves.
Mm.
This book is about teaching families,
okay,
how to restore the family and how to start out right in the first place. I am something that worked that have poured into me for years. Sex trafficking.
Yeah.
And I have all that work and all of our successes and all of those heinous stories, and we have put that in the book and given families all over there for almost ensuring that we are raising phenomenal kids. We are restoring our families.
Wow. Now, after the word mentioned several times. Now, we could talk endless time about families, you know, all the way back, well, you know what, all the way back to creation, I think maybe, you know, we believe in the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and all like that. Why is family so important? I mean, why can't we just get here out on this planet and make it on our own and go off to a desert? Well, why is family so important?
Well, I was created as one who
addition. Okay.
So I went back to say he was a little lonely. He
didn't
need anybody.
Right.
But I heard that he
don't
just long with his birth. Okay. That's what we need. So whether it's our immediate social circle, whether it's the private school, whether that church, in our employment area, on the college campus, all of those cliques and relationships that
Therefore,
they are significant. We're going to have a world worthy of all the people of God.
You know what, and I'm also wondering, now you have dealt a lot with gangs and violence. I don't know, is that whole gang situation, is that an attempt? Have a family? I don't know. Is there something going on there with this gang situation?
Well, Norma, remember, gangs represent the hierarchy of family.
Okay.
What is the hierarchy? Protection, provision, providing stuff that you want and many kinds of stuff that you need.
Okay.
Being able to access fun time, walk time. Having the girls, having the parties, gangs sell all of these wolf cookies.
Okay.
About the things that they can provide and they will provide.
Yeah.
They're just like the drug dealers.
Mm.
They'll give you the first hit free. But what you don't know, you'll get it for the first shot.
Okay.
After so, they will stop everything. We should have a situation out. The bullying that goes on in school, the bullying that goes on in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and over even in our family.
Wow.
And then we chop the game because there's no other support system.
Wow.
And in most cases, these are homes without mothers,
okay.
who are worried of being called mothers.
Mm.
So they have to have to look at all of this.
Okay.
Kids who are raised unchecked, unengaged, unloved, unappreciated,
mm.
uninspired, unprotected. That's a matter of time. If they cannot build the warmth of the house, they will burn it down.
Okay, now let me, speaking about burning down the house, let me, and this thought just occurred to me, you know, right now we're deep into the discussion about Roe versus Wade being reversed for many, 50 years or so, society, women in society were able to get abortions, and now the current Supreme Court has reversed it. There's all kind of outcry on both sides, many cheering the reversal, many, many arguing against it. But one argument against it is if a parent is forced, a man or a woman, if the woman is forced to give birth to a child that she literally, they didn't want, can't provide for, there are many who are saying that's really going to work against that child. Do you see that as a problem in the area that you deal with, that whole Roe versus Wade? Or is there some kind of impact on your arena?
First of all, every human being was created by the Creator.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And there's one thing we know, we don't make any mistakes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I get up there countless phenomenal men and women. Some who actually were born out of their mothers being raped.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to be some of the most phenomenal people on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? Are we taking God and telling him what's a good birth and what's a bad birth?
Mm.
That is one of the problems we run into in my opinion.
Okay.
When the conservatives start talking about this pro-life.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to Black Lives Matter,
okay.
the men that are being shot down by police
mm.
who have that Gestapo mentality,
mm.
they're not coming out rally in support of those lives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in essence, a new life is more significant than an existing life.
Mm.
Because there's no comparison made between an existing life and a new life. And that's why many don't feel on board with that outcry.
Now let me jump right in. That is a thought that had never crossed my mind. And I know our audience would give pushback on both sides. So let me repeat what I heard you say. A new life is more significant than an existing life. That's a strong thought, and I'm going to have to digest that thought, because it never occurred to me to equate the new life versus the existing life. That's gonna be an interesting discussion. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And that is at the heart of why you don't see it would probably be a lot more people.
Uh huh. Okay.
That conservative of America,
mm-hmm.
on human life. That's why people out there for best.
Okay. 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 Now, I want to go back to something you mentioned a little while ago about this book sort of being a come together of your 40 plus years or so. In the which is, you know, families in need of direction with troubled children. What has that 40 years? Well, let me put it this way: 40 years ago, when you stepped into the arena of this, and you found yourself kind of green behind the ears and all like that. What are the lessons you have learned along that 40 year span of time that allow you now to speak with authority, with confidence, with knowledge and experience. What have you learned along the way?
First of all, experience over time, consistently, always sharpen your skills.
Okay.
When I first started in the business, they gave us the key. Don't train and just then go for it.
Right, right.
So we have had all how and all the flavor that goes into making us. We've had the ultimate of kids.
Yeah, yeah. The flip side of the success surge, and I was asking you emotionally, how do you deal with it when you just don't kind of reach what you're trying to attain with a young person?
What happens when I try to run an atmosphere and programs where if any kid walks through that door
wanted
to change, he's going to have opportunity.
Okay. Okay.
That was some of those that was so far gone. In terms of his habits and practices, and how he has just conformed to that thinking and that mentality.
Right.
They eventually got out and they eventually went off to prison.
Yeah.
Some got jailed.
Mm.
I had some that I made sure didn't get out.
Okay.
They were like,
I want to go to the book signing. Now, the book signing was, what was it, May 26th? May 26th, and it was at the Hall of State. Y'all out there in the audience, wonderful gathering. I went, the dress code, which I missed, was white linen. And I mean, and the room was just so gorgeously set, and the reception table was gorgeously done, and all of these guests in this white linen was just a visual feast. And so there was a gathering of folk that Travis Wortham has worked with over his 40 something a year career that have there were over 200 guests plus speakers. Now, speakers, there were about 20 or so speakers. Of the 200 guests, there were about 20-something speakers. Robert Ashley, a radio personality, was the MC. And so some of the programs were youth programs, principals with academic educational facilities. There was a lady who talked about human trafficking. There was a gentleman who talked about how families can build wealth. There was a speaker who talked about men being restored. There were faith people who spoke from the perspective of faith. Reverend Chris Simmons of the very well-known Cornerstone Baptist in South Dallas was one of the speakers. Some of the people that Travis Wortham worked with when he was with the juvenile justice facilities. So just a wealth of folk. And Robert Petrie, who owns Skyline Ranch, but he talked about his life guide for America map. So Travis Wortham, when you was in your mind trying to come together with who all you were going to have at your initial book signing, what were your thoughts on bringing this selection of 20 plus speakers together?
Because it was more than a book signing.
Okay.
It's the launching of change for our community. I brought in people that I've had relationships all of those years,
okay,
who are the real subject experts in their respective areas.
Okay.
They not only are the ones we call experts, they are the proven experts because there's evidence of all the lives that have been changed as a result of their work.
Okay.
And they are friends of mine, Norma, that I have done contractual work with over the years and will continue to do.
Right, right.
They are who I know
what they're talking about and what they're doing. Very good, very good. And I did also mention Lovey, who took over with Omar Jawa, who we lost to COVID less than 2 years ago. And he is really moving forward And he's a former gang member and all like that. What has been his contribution to what you seek to do, Anton Lucky?
Well, for one, I went to his book sign.
Okay.
And African Bookstore.
Yeah.
One of the things he shared, and it was so funny, when he started telling his story about how he got into the games and drugs, and people identified him as a big-time drug dealer, gangster. Said, man, I ain't no gangster, I ain't no drug dealer. But he was forced into the life because that was the world he was in.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Uh-huh. It's about rallying the resources to be able to do it and getting some folks who are willing to donate some great resources upfront.
Okay, everybody, we're talking with Travis Wortham Jr., and he is a veteran youth and family counselor and consultant and has a long history of dealing with troubled and at-risk youth, even very aggressive and violent youth and their families, and reshaping these lives. He has written a book. And we're just talking about the signing that was at the Hall of Faith about a week or so ago. And it's called Creating Monsters or Raising Champions. What's wrong with these kids? And he uses the colloquial language. Now, I want to go back to the book. Let me say this. The book and sharing the experiences of these parents, children, families, what would you say, or what does the book say? How do you begin? How does a couple begin to be successful? And what are some initial steps from your experience that parents can make to do the right thing with raising a champion rather than raising rather than creating a monster?
There's one side chapter called The Spot.
Oh, wow.
What I talk about in that chapter is making the right choice of one. It's one stop with parents being the right parent for each other.
Okay.
Also, the father and the mother have to be right for each other.
Huh.
Normal we all the time. There's so many times that we make bad choices starting out.
Wow.
We are with men or with women. That we know we should be.
Okay.
We all understand.
Mm-hmm.
But we are playing, the clock is ticking, and we want to get a family started.
Mm-hmm.
It's too handsome, too handsome, because we want to be with him, because he's so popular, and everybody wants him.
Yeah.
I want to judge Norman, by the way, to these girls. One of them gets married to these old jokers who was the ball, and then she goes to him one evening. That at least to be able to do children, but he didn't realize he was not in school, so he can't help.
What? How can he help? How can he help?
How can we make those such bad choices?
Bad choices.
We start running past God.
Yeah. Wait, put a pin in that point. Let me absorb that's so profound to me. That's very profound, and I hope you won't forget the next point that you were going to make, but I just needed to focus in on that. Two people coming together in a child, and they were wrong from the get-go. The two people, so that's a bad foundation right there. So I just kind of wanted to absorb that as a beginning step. Okay. Don't forget your second point, though. So.
Dealing with a family.
Uh-huh.
Beautiful lady, beautiful guy.
Right.
Both of them are the model type.
Okay, okay.
Girls and the family, beautiful children.
Wow.
One is a narcissist.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Got divorced. But doing all kinds of craziness.
Wow.
Because they dislike each other.
Wow. Wow.
And separating the kids, having a way between the kids and the parents, creating all kinds of destruction that you can't even imagine.
Right.
And that's one thing that I count parents
mm-hmm.
I say to them, based on how you are acting towards each other.
Mm-hmm.
How you treat each other.
Mm-hmm.
You are giving your children a message about how they ought to treat the opposite sex.
Wow.
So what is the message that mm-hmm. you are giving them? Is it a message that's going to enhance that relationship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or is it a message that's going to destroy that
relationship? Wow. Wow.
And here's Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
It's worse. Better. So give them bad times.
Yeah.
It gets worse, for instance. If you're teaching that girl
yeah.
to disrespect men,
uh-huh.
eventually she's going to become a victim of domestic violence.
Whoa.
Because you have told her that way.
Okay, okay.
You teach her humility and honor and loving and being a whole person.
Well, and here's a comment in the chat that says it can be called being unequaled, and we know we've heard that. Okay, now go on, and you were going to make another point about young parents. And take the right step instead of the wrong step.
Yes. The last part of the book I talk about the faith and objective.
Yeah, yeah.
I have read several questions that I've set out to many families.
Okay.
These are families who raise some of the most phenomenal people.
Mm-hmm.
And the first step about what did you do? I wanted to know what was the step you took in raising those champions.
Okay.
And
okay.
Here's what happened when I got responses back from all of those factors.
Okay.
Wasn't much difference from a little thing here or there. And I'll give you some quick examples.
Okay.
They talked about playing classical music.
What?
The baby was in the womb.
Wow.
And how that begins to trigger endorphins and dopamines in the brain.
Okay.
Even as a child, they talked about reading to your child at one and how that impacts and has a direct relationship with your child beginning to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
They talked about the steps went into being a father.
Okay.
How you take certain acts. I don't want to get on too much long because I need to
know. Yeah, right, exactly. Get copies of the book. We gave you the email. We're going to and put that in the chat. We gave you the website. And now here's the phone number, 805-609-4951. All of those are ways you can get, you can purchase copies of the book. Derek Temple, he's the CEO of the publishing house. The publishing house is Urban Publishing House. The email, Urban CEO. Now, Urban, y'all, is U-R-B-A-N, U-R-B-A-N, and then C-E-O, Urban CEO at urbanpublishinghouse.com. And the website, and you probably can just go straight to the website, www.urbanpublishinghouse.com. And finally, the phone number, 805-609-4951. I look in the chat, and all of that will be in the chat. Anything else you need to know, how the public can get a copy of the book. Wait, I'm sorry. Something glitched there. 214-399. And then what? Okay. Say it one more time.
214-399-7171.
Great.
Or they can contact me, travis.wortham@att.net.
Okay. All of that we're putting in the chat. So how to contact Travis Wortham Jr. To get, if you're local and you want to just get with him in the book, 214-399-7171, and to email Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S dot Wortham, W-O-R-T-H-A-M at T.net. Okay, so that ought to get you a copy of the book. And so now I want to go back to our go ahead.
August 20th.
Oh, okay.
The African American Museum is going to be highlighted off the
Oh, is this the Tulasoma?
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead.
I will be there from 12 to 5 to the 20th.
Okay.
So they want to come and have a autograph copy and also have multiple designers coming up yet to be set.
Okay. Okay. So now August 19 and 20 at the African American Museum at Fairfax Park. You can go there and Travis Wortham Jr. will be signing his book on August 20th from noon to 5 p.m. Do you want to tell them the average price or what?
Well, I'm trying not to say.
Okay, well then let's move on from that. But it's reasonable. It's a reasonable average book price. Very good. Okay, very good.
Oh,
you know what? I don't think you and I have talked about that. So you've got soft copy, hard copy, and ebook. Okay. So audience, you've got three choices. You can get it on ebook. You can get a soft copy, or you can get a hard copy. Very good. I missed that. Very good. Okay. Now, let me just bring up everybody. We're talking with Travis Wortham Jr. He is a veteran youth and family counselor and consultant dealing with troubled youth, aggressive, violent, all of that, and their families. Many And the book is about how you can either raise this, create this monster child, or you can raise a champion. And so that's what the book is about. And it's called Creating Monsters or Raising Champions. What's wrong with these kids? And it's a colloquial expression there. So now I want to know, tell us, how do you think it's going so far with you reaching out to the public? And what do you need the public to know about reaching out to you, or how, give us your feeling about the distribution and the sales, and just kind of bring us up to date on how you think it's going right now?
Well, this is
okay. Okay. Okay, okay.
My whole thing is blessing families and honoring God.
Okay.
I've had person after person after person who say you must write the book because of the times we're living in.
Mm.
And you always hear the expression, kids don't come with a manual.
Right, right.
Well, I've never read that because it says Bible.
Yeah.
In God's words, regular children have changed.
Okay.
What we have been able to do is to give people an easier walk by walk. We can create great kids. And what we are doing, that creates change in prayer for the community.
Mm.
And how we can stop those habits so that we don't need to end up as a result of that kid in someone that gets killed or kills somebody.
Okay, let me use that statement as a segue to the second part of our discussion. And I told the audience that when we began talking that at some point in the conversation, we would move to what's going on in our world today. These mass shootings, all of this violence, all of this visible hatred among individuals, and a lot of it seems, is coming from the young folks. Well, and the classic examples of, Uvalde with the what was the 18 or something, and had access to semi-automatic, the AK-47s and what the AR-15s and all of that. So, Travis, you with this background of dealing with troubled youth, violence, oh my gosh, just all the creations from parents, I guess, and families who took all the wrong steps. What do you say about what's going on in our world today? How do you make sense or not make sense of it? What are your thoughts?
Uvalde was Salvador Ramos, he's 18.
Okay.
On Parkland, Florida, was Nicholas Gray, 19.
Okay.
On Newton, Connecticut, was Adam Lasagna, he was 18.
Okay.
Dylan, Cleveland, was 17 in Columbine.
Whew.
Fell from the sky. And the kid on top of their heads, they woke up evil. They are the making of monsters, which is what I call it. They talk about how these kids got to where they are. That is, this is what I can do.
Okay.
I don't care whether they come out of a born family.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice most of these kids didn't have financial needs.
Okay.
When you look at the houses and the media is showing what the home of their parents looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't look like they were earning for money.
Right, right.
So,
what is it?
And the media of an ugly thing.
Ugh.
And I'll tell you what some of them are.
Okay.
Uneducated. Unloved.
Mm-hmm.
No feeling of compassion.
Okay.
No isolated from part of the cliques that matter.
Okay.
The gay players. They lose with parents. And by the way, something I've said this before. I did a study of spirit.
Okay.
Jeffrey Dahmer. John Wayne Gacy.
Right, right.
I wanted to know that background.
Yes.
And how it relates to kids doing these killings.
Right, right, right.
Oh, here's what I discovered.
Uh-huh.
Not much different. They just isolation. Left to raise themselves. And you think it's the social media today and all they have access to, and they're open to the entire world.
Right.
Single age kids, let alone kids in middle school.
Okay.
They are getting called up because of social media. They are being groomed on social media.
Oh.
They are being groomed by people who claim to be their age, but they end up 20 and 30. And then they don't get stuck up, don't beat them because of the ways we're mad at their parents because of stuff that happened in the home.
And some kill their parents. And some kill their parents.
Yes, ma'am. One of the stories I tell in the book, actually, there's two stories.
Yeah, yeah.
One of them is a friend I have, man, who is one of the children of several siblings.
Okay.
His mother, in the street, was considered one of the greatest people in the community. Mother and father in the home had a financial. This is a black family. He was despised by his mother, hated even, called the black sheep, the bastard child, switched at birth, never encouraged to beat him down with anything she could find. One day, he got a butcher knife while she was sleeping on the couch, walked over to her, and planned to stab her to death.
Watch
what I did. The last 18 years of her life, out of all the other siblings that she loved and hated him, she was extremely sick.
Okay.
Yes, he took care of her.
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh.
I said that to you, going to the audience. Found it to our lead boys who beat their mothers.
Okay.
You know, one of your own professional athletes talking on TV. They bought a house for the mother, for this and that. Always the mother.
Yeah.
Rarely over the years talking about the mother. But what I rarely hear is boys who hate their mothers. But every time I've heard a boy who hates their mothers. And it changed from all the abuse, physical abuse, emotional, beat down, never encouraged, never supported, protected, on and on all the time. All of that is part of what I talk about in the beginning. And where I go with that part of the book is, parents don't do these things.
Yeah. Here's a comment in the chat. Brother Wisdom, there is a communication disconnect between the children of Emmett Till and the children of George Floyd, and it is hurting the black community. Question, how do we repair the breach?
The first response to that, I just had this conversation, by the way, not that specific topic. But because we're not reaching young people, we can't go to the church. Ironically, one of the kids just graduated in Christian ministry.
Okay.
And he and I were having this conversation.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And let me point out that a number of the high profile individuals who've spoken about the elementary school children, not only Uvalde, that other school was an elementary school, it talked about the physical structure of those young babies' bodies. And I think one person even said that one child was beheaded, that the weapon beheaded the child. And such damage, such physical damage to young bodies. Go ahead.
Yeah, that particular weapon, I don't know whether you've seen
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, so these gut-right people, and I don't mean to be creating any political issues. I'm telling the folks, just look at the logic of what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
If you take this last incident that you called it,
yeah.
You use that clip that you just talked about.
Right.
I was playing over and over and over again.
I hope some elected official or even some broadcast person, I guess the broadcast person is not about to do it, but some elected official, I hope they're listening. I hope they hear you on that, because I totally agree. If you're going to convince somebody as to why those weapons should not such easy public access, that clip does. I'm talking, and those officers, didn't they have on shields and they had all of that on, and yes, they ran. Oh my goodness.
Exactly right, because they what those
guys
were
Right. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we're gonna start closing out. We're already right at the time out. And everybody, let me remind you, we're talking with Travis Wortham Jr. He is a veteran youth and family counselor, consultant, 40-something years dealing with troubled at-risk youth, many of them very, very violent, very aggressive, have lived destructive lives. And he's written a book, and the book, Creating Monsters or Raising Champions, and the book and the subtitle is What's Wrong with These Kids, and he uses colloquial language, but the book gives us the whole scenario, the panorama of successful parents who did the right things. And he told us one of the first steps is parents, right parents together, putting the right two people together as parents. And then the book has all kinds of stories about success stories and some of the ones who, as Travis Wortham Jr. told, they just kind of too far gone once his agency, had access to them. But the book, it has a wealth of information. So I want to ask you, so at this point, what points have we not touched on that you feel the audience should know and needs to know, both about the book, about any social aspects that we've talked about? What have we not talked about that you want to make a point of? Okay. Okay.
We got a chance to have a little sandwich to get something to eat.
Okay.
environment for our kids in our community.
Okay.
In that same environment, we have to be providing them skills, life skills. We have to be providing them information about character counts.
Okay.
About skills and character.
Okay.
We have to provide something that is about how to be compassionate towards others. We have to identify resources in the community that can not only help the kids, but also the family.
Okay. Okay.
Every need of social service.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of that needs to be combined. One of my friends that has the youth program is about to open up a village off that one.
Uh-huh.
And talking about providing all these services and church and after school programs.
Okay. Okay. Is that the one that you mentioned earlier? In North Dallas?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
ma'am.
Okay.
Ma'am. Scattered.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, see. And he's doing some things which is just will blow me away at the moment. He's one of the best job seekers in Dallas.
Okay.
He's an African American, been on this program for 20 years, and a part of Dallas that anybody would want. He got it for about $750,000.
Wow. Okay.
If you are willing to multiply like that, we've got to change the atmosphere of why kids feel. They are living in environments where gangs and drugs and bad habits and women are being multiple women and fathers were in and out of prison. We've got to change the environment, give them another resource
when
they go to, because if they never see anything other than that, then that is the only thing they can refer to.
Wow. And let me put a pin in that. I think I'm going to ask you to say that again, because I've heard people say young people live what they see. Just make that point again. If that's all they see, say that, make that point again.
Yes, ma'am. Kids go on in,
Okay.
They become the product and the evidence of that environment.
Okay.
So they go on all kinds of women and babies all over the place. And it's in and out of prison for the drugs. Often gang activity. They know no other life. That is the lifestyle they're supposed to live.
Wow.
And the kids that I've worked with in many cases, gangs and drugs made it real clear. They get as 25.
Wow.
Because that's the world that they lived in. They saw friends die.
Wow.
Four friends get shot. By the way, I don't know if you know this. Down some years back, maybe 15 years ago, I don't know if you know. That was a group of guys and women in wheelchairs. They had a basketball team in Pleasant Oaks Recreation Center.
Okay.
And I knew these guys.
Okay.
Yeah, all got in a wheelchair.
How?
Shot in the back by drug dealers and gangsters who praised the bells in the game.
Oh, my goodness. What a statement. You said that was about how long ago, roughly? That was about how long ago you said? Wow.
And that's to say, when kids grow up in that world, one thing on the night my call, the child can't eat, but a child can't sleep.
Oh, a child, wait a minute. A child can't be what a child can't see.
Well, there's not a more than not enough teachers in this area. You can't get kids who've been unloved, uncared for, unfed, unappreciated, unprotected. You can't get them to come to school and sit in that chair and act all respectfully and responsibly. They have themselves. So they're that I want to school right now.
Okay.
If you don't deal with the social emotional baggage that our kids are needed, you never heard this.
Yeah. Okay.
They talk about this as to how they build effective school environments. You have to be there in that environment. They have changed everything about the environment you said in school. They need better than the one they have at home.
Okay.
And in many cases, kids are more impressed with coming to school than they are born on.
Audience members responded to me earlier, and it said, A, the purveyors of institutionalized racism are benefiting from the fact that young activists are not engaging older activists. Thought of that?
Yes, indeed. You can't believe
what you haven't been. Okay.
The older civil rights guys and ladies been in this struggle the last 50 years. And they're the guys along the way, is what I'm saying to them. And they're the Black Lives Matter.
Okay.
What you're doing is great.
Okay.
Why the marching is great.
Okay.
It's hard and it's needed. And I've had to tell white conservatives about this to help them to get a better mindset and understanding about the budget in the first place.
Okay.
And for the most part, it's no different. That's why we marched in the 60s.
Okay.
It's the same issue. Okay. But the point is with the Black Lives Matter group and other young folks out here marching, when the budget is over, then what?
Wait. We got to put a pin in that. When the market is over, go ahead. Market is over, what then? Go ahead.
We have to make policy, and we have to have some systems so that we can keep the focus on change. I don't know if I said this before or not, but Robert T. Tye and a group of men from the civil rights movement started dialogues with Chase Bank, Stop Executive, Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and the OCC.
Okay.
The article you just said on Channel 8.
Okay.
That's the below 30. We started.
All right. Yes, yes.
I've not been on the national level. I've never practiced it. I've not been on the businesses, churches.
Okay.
I've got to be held accountable. I'm using that as an example. After the
launch, then what? And so what I hear from both the person in the chat and from you is that coming together of the generations, the older activists who've been out there, who know the ropes, who know the players, that coming together with that segment of the Black Lives Matter generation, that there could be, both sides can benefit and society as a whole can benefit exchanging actions and policies and what have you. Am I correct or what?
That is correct. And I've been counseling for a whole vision of my house this morning.
Yeah.
So I've been a counseling person, so I've been a convention, so I've been a last person with my job businesses. That's what change has to be made.
Right.
And we have to go out in terms of economic barriers, in terms of the local justice system. And I say that it's a big moment to have as an education moment. When we talk about theaters with supply chain,
okay.
We know that really white men a lot get that thing going.
Okay.
There's something I want you all to remember.
Uh-huh.
And of the guys who are getting out of prison right now,
uh-huh.
20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35
uh-huh.
years,
uh-huh.
were in prison for something they decided.
Okay.
Who do you know was the DA at the time they went to prison?
Who was? Who? I wasn't. It wasn't. Who? Henry Wade. And that is, by the way, the Wade in the Roe versus Wade lawsuit that came about with the whole abortion issue. That Wade is Henry Wade right here in Dallas, and that that lawsuit, but that whole abortion issue started with Jane Roe, again, name, a fictitious name, right here in Dallas. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Prosecutors were just suppressed the other day.
Ooh.
A man of color.
Ooh. That hurts. That hurts.
So that the defense would never have that evidence that would have exonerated those men. And the men you see getting out of the innocent squad there are the victims.
My goodness. I mean, you know, you don't want to say that somebody deserves to burn in hell. You don't want to say that. But when you think about the damage of an individual in a power position who affects, damages the life of countless individuals, such as our African-American men over those years, oh, my gosh, it's painful. Painful. Right. Okay, so we're about to close out, everybody. I did want to just, I'm trying to let you go, but I want to say one more thing about the Black Lives Matter and the older activists. Any thoughts? Well, we hear all the time that young people don't listen. And so there's a dilemma of older activists can see some of the gaps that the younger activists making, and you yourself said you compliment them, you're doing this right. What are your thoughts on how to get current generations and future generations to listen to the, I'll use the word wisdom, from experience of older actors? What's your thoughts? How do you get them to listen?
Well, I think that we can simply ask that.
Okay.
And make that happen.
Uh-huh.
And we're willing to do it.
Okay.
Because we're going to pass what we just called so that they can pick up the baton and go forward for people that comes behind them. And we have the venue right here in Dallas.
Okay.
We do that.
Okay.
Well, I'm saying to you that I'm open. I know Robert Victor is open. I know a lot of other people are open. Because that's a part of how we're going to change things for young people in general.
Okay.
We're going to talk about building wealth. We're going to talk about how to stay out of jail for the thing they do when you get stopped by a cop. And when I served as the vice chairman of the Dallas region, we learned all about what you do and what you don't do. So we want to pass the information down, and it does us no good to split on it. So give them direction on the stuff that they may be making mistakes on, and guide them along, and we're willing to do it and anxious to do it.
We'll take that, and we will take it back. Travis Wortham Jr., we cannot thank you enough for coming on, and I'll just say sharing your wisdom. I don't know any other who your 46 years in the area and arena of working with troubled youth, at-risk youth, violent, aggressive youth. You have so much to share, and you have this shared with us, and you are have shared and are sharing in your book. And everybody, you've got the information on how to get the book. And the book is, it was just done, he just did his initial book signing at the Hall of State last May, Creating Monsters or Raising Champions. With these kids, and he uses colloquial language in that, Creating Monsters or Raising Champions. I want to get the book, and you've got the information on how to do it. Travis Wortham, go forward and continue.
I don't care what stage I get on nationally. I love it. I want one person interview, and that's normal way.
No.
Like old Dr. Bill. I want a Dr. Bill. I need normal way.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, everybody. Wow. What a wealth of information. Travis Wortham Jr. And he's not just talking what he heard. He's not just talking what he saw, what he read or whatever, but he's talking what he knows. He's talking what he knows. And so I'm urging everybody to get his book and you know, let's do what we can. To help these youth. And we know that we're dealing with this whole mass shooting, gun violence, escalating crime, and we heard recently the Chicago, somebody was giving statistics about the rising crime and violence in the urban area of Chicago. We know that Chicago is one of the United States' well-known urban areas, and you know, with the lax gun law. And here in Texas, we know our governor has made recent law changes where just about anybody and everybody who wants to can have a gun, whether you're mentally stable or not. Now, there have been efforts, John Cornyn, his name is Murphy, if I'm calling it right, in the Senate, United States Senate. They're working on some compromise gun laws, and have all the information, but I guess any step is a step. Still, automatic weapons of war, AK-47s and AR-15s that shoot multiple rounds and can just demolish and destroy a human body, can be hit with these gaping holes in your body. And Travis Wortham talked about the Uvalde police, and the clip was just released, what was it, yesterday, where everybody could see, and the law officials did not, by the way, they did not want that clip released. They didn't want it released, but everybody could see that there were these officers who entered that school building in Uvalde where those young elementary children were being held by this gun violent person with access to these automatic rifles, and the police had on shields, they had weapons, but when they heard that young, not mentally healthy young man shoot those rounds with that automatic weapon, those police officers turned and ran, okay? They turned and ran. They had on shields. They had weapons, but they ran because of the power of that automatic, of those automatic weapons that he had, and those young children were the victims. And then we heard some people talked about the damage to those young babies when they finally were able to get their bodies, and they mentioned one child was beheaded from the damage of that weapon. And so Travis Wortham Jr. said if he led some group that was fighting against gun violence, he would just use that clip. Just show that clip. He said, just show that clip of those police officers turning and running. Show that to show the power of that weapon and why they should be banned. Why have that public access? It's a weapon of war on a battlefield. Our streets and schools and churches and clubs and beauty salons and movie theaters, that's not a war area. That's not a war area. It's supposed to be a safe public area. Nobody should be able walk in there with a semi-automatic weapon and blow everybody away, but yet that's the world we live in. And so we thank Travis Wortham Jr., and we wish him well with his book. We're going to try to see some of the things that are going on in the community here. Dallas, we keep some stuff going. We keep some things going. I want to mention that the Black Academy of Arts and Letters is having a session for journalists. It's called a meet and greet. And so if you are a professional journalist out there in either mainstream or the black press, all forms, print, broadcast, you know, whatever, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. this coming Saturday, July 16th, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. this Saturday, July 16th, at the Black Academy of Arts and Letters, and that, of course, you know, is in the Dallas Convention Center, right there at Ackert and Canton Street, right there at the corner. Ackert and Canton Street is it's a offshoot of the Dallas Convention Center. Now, if you want more information, and this is free for journalists, but if you want more journalists of black press and mainstream media, print, broadcast, whatever, you can call 214-743-2440 if you need more information or just access to, I don't know if it's on their website, probably is, but the Black Academy has the phone number 214-743-2440. Okay, that's that. Now, I mentioned this a little bit last time I visited this. Now, this event is begins tomorrow through Saturday, and it's at the AT&T Performing Arts Center, which is right across from the Booker T. Washington Arts Magnet there at 2403 Flora Street, and it's called Rhythm and Rhapsody. And this very talented African-American cultural artist, Verb Culture, and her last name is spelled with a K, Verb Culture, has brought together these, and it's sort of a medley of entertainment, but it's called Rhythm and Rhapsody. It's building up to be a very entertaining evening, Thursday, tomorrow through Saturday at the AT&T Performing Arts Center, and it's 2403 Flora Street, right across from the Arts Magnet there, just north of downtown. And if you want to get tickets, here is the website, www.verb.com. And it's spelled with a K, KULTURE, and then the word events.com. Or it's also, you can get more information, you can get information at www.attpac.org. Each one of those websites, you can get tickets. And the second one, www.attpac.org. And Verb Culture was interviewed on WFLA TV recently. She's talked about her various efforts in the cultural arts arena. So we want to go to that and just be entertained. Now, they're inviting groups to come in. You can get your group to get tickets and go as a group. Get a group of friends to go, but it's going to be a very entertaining evening called Rhythm and Rhapsody. Now, another event that I was happy to hear that this is being made accessible to the public again. Now, what was it? On Juneteenth, gave a live performance of the play that was by local historian George Keaton Jr., who's the head of Remembering Black Dallas. And the play was called The Half Ain't Never Been Told. And what that play was about African-American significant people in Dallas who didn't necessarily catch the spotlight all the time, but who were valuable to the African-American community in Dallas. And so he wrote this book to say, y'all know about the high-profile names, but here's the other half that ain't never been told. And so a lot of information, and it was a live production. And so now the point now is that it's going to be accessible through a web link. And that here's how you do. Here's what you do. Oh, okay, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow, Thursday, July 15th at 6 p.m. Okay. So what you do is register, and it's, you know, no cost involved. You register at this site, which is the AARP link. It's the AARP link. And you go to that link. You don't have to be a member of AARP. You don't have to be a senior, because we know AARP is an organization of senior adults. But you will receive an email, and that will admit you. Okay, so let's see here. So you can go. Okay, so here's a simple thing. Go to the Remembering Black Dallas website, and it'll tell you what to do. Here's the Remembering Black Dallas website, www.rememberingblackdallas, all together, words all together, no spaces, .org. www.rememberingblackdallas.org. Okay, you can go there, and then it'll tell you what to do to register with that AARP link. And you don't have to be a member of AARP. You don't have to be a senior adult. Just go to www.rememberingblackdallas.org and then follow the instructions. But you get to see this play that you missed. You missed the live performance. And it talks about these just very, you know, worthwhile, valuable folk who made significant contributions to the African-American community of Dallas. And some of them came out of that St. Thomas area that you always St. Thomas area there, just north of downtown, which is a historic African-American community. In Dallas, so a lot of these characters, and my mentor in media, Julia Scott Reed, is one of the characters that is portrayed in that play. So anyway, go and get access to that. Now, I want to also tell you about it's a boxing and fitness gym that's coming to our area. And it's called the Mayweather, and we know Mayweather is a boxing personality. It's called the Mayweather Boxing and Fitness Gym. And it will be in Cedar Hill, in the Hillside Village Mall in Cedar Hill. It's on 1382, which is a very prominent area of Cedar Hill, and it's Suite 219. Now, the address, here's the address, 305 West FM 1382. Now, you know, there's a big mall facility there at 1382, but that's right at 67 and 1382 where you exit to go to that area. But it's 305 West FM 1382, and it's Suite to 19. So the it will open this Saturday, July 16th, and there will be sort of like a grand opening type thing from 10 a.m. to noon. And there'll be your water, you know, since it's going to be, you know, physical activities, there's free water, lots of free water will be served. And so this is sort of a preview grand opening. And you can tour the facility. You can tour the facility. And then later on, there will be a bigger grand opening at some date that they will announce. And so one of the forces behind this is the person Cedric Brown, and he's going to welcome the public and talk about what all this facility will offer, the Mayweather Boxing and Fitness Gym, and he helped design it. And so we're going to be able to hear from him. Now, you can go to Facebook and get some information. And here is how you can get that on Facebook. It's at Kingdom Boxing Promotions. At Kingdom Boxing Promotions on Facebook. Okay, so that'll be good. You know, we all need to be more, we need to be more physically fit. This one has already, well, it's going on right now, but I just wanted to tell you about it. You know, there's been a lot of talk about African Americans just don't really get into the science, engineering and math and technology field. But this week, a group of students have had access to STEM training and projects, a building project, and in this instance, the providers that said, you know, you can't go to the mountain, bring the mountain to you. So they came to the community, a largely African-American and Hispanic community in the Jubilee Park community, at the Jubilee Park Community Center on Bank Street, right behind Fair Park. Now, that's Al Lipscomb's former council member and civil rights advocate, Al Lipscomb. That's his old growing up stopping ground on Bank Street, right behind Fair Park, and the community center is Jubilee Park. But these are young people, I think 6th through 8th graders, and they were working with the Southern Methodist University students who were counseling them on building engineering projects. They built various projects there at the Jubilee Park Community Center, been going on all this week. And so they're telling us that they plan to do more of this there at that facility there at Jubilee Park. But I did want to just kind of let you know about that. And now here's one. And I want us to start paying attention to the Van Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center. That's a mouthful, but they do a mouthful of work. And we know that Van Wesley Holmes, who was the pastor emeritus of St. Luke Community United Methodist Church, we know his life has just been overflowing with achievements and outreach. And so this community outreach center is named in his honor, the Van Wesley Holmes Jr. Community Outreach Center. And let me just tell you where it is. Okay, they're going to have a session at what's called Frazier House, which is 4600 Spring Avenue in South Dallas. So what they're going to do is that they're having a network of bankers to come and talk with small business owners and to give them all kind of tips and inroads to how to get the best products that will help small business from bankers. And they're calling it the Bank Networking Fair for Small Business Owners. And it will be July 20th at 10 a.m. July, that's Wednesday, July 20th, Wednesday, July 20th at 10 a.m. at Fraser House, 4600 Spring Avenue. Now, the lead person on this effort is the Community Center's executive director, and she's Frances Smith Dean. Frances Smith Dean, and she's pulling all of this together and is going to lead it with these with this network of bankers. And so that will assist small business owners with access to capital. Now, who doesn't need capital? If you're going to try to do a business, you need access to capital, and the bank has it. Now, we as African-American business owners have not always a still struggle to get access to capital. So this session, this fair, this networking fair, and if you're a small business owner, you want to put that on your calendar, 10 a.m. July 20th, which is a Wednesday, at Fraser House, 4600 Spring Avenue. So it will help you to understand the best banking product for your small business. You have to pre-register. You have to pre-register. Let me say that again. You have to pre-register. Now, here's where you pre-register. You register at the website for the Van Wesley Homes Community Outreach Center. Now, get ready to write this down because it's the alphabet. The website is the alphabet of that center. So get your pen. Now it's the initials, the first initials of each word of that outreach center. Here we go. www.SNZAN, WS in Wesley, H as in Homes, J as in Junior, C as in Community, O as in Outreach, C as in WZWHJCOC.org/project. So you're on a small business, you need that information. So you want to go to that. We're talking about all the different things that are going on in the community, and we want you to know about it. Now, the Dallas Mavericks just unveiled a new basketball court in the Fraser Housing, what has been known as the Fraser Housing Project area, but it's now known as Fraser Revitalization. Fraser Revitalization. And so the Dallas Mavericks just unveiled a new basketball court, and that that Fraser Revitalization project is on Elsie Hagen's right at Spring Avenue. That's the general point of the area. And Elsie Hagen's, we know, is the old Hatcher Street. Y'all know where the old Hatcher Street is, but it's now called Elsie Hagen's. So right there at Elsie Hagen's and Spring Avenue is the central point of that whole project. Now, you go off into the housing revitalization area to get to the basketball court. But they just unveiled it and had a public the celebration of that basketball court. But we just wanted you to know about it. So go over there and just ask, hey, y'all, where's that new basketball court? Y'all know where the Fraser, the old Fraser Housing Project, y'all know where it is. So go over there, but it's called Fraser Revitalization, and you want to see the new basketball court that the Dallas Mavericks just recently unveiled. Now, we're winding down, I want to talk about this, the Academy of Arts and Letters. They do so much in the arts area here in Dallas. Curtis King, everybody knows Curtis King is the driving force and founder of the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. And oh my gosh, we can't even begin to start talking about all the cultural arts achievements that he has accomplished here in the Dallas area. But he has a gallery there. T-Ball, the Black Academy of Arts and Letters. We call it T-Ball. And this new exhibit just recently opened there at the T-Ball facility. And we mentioned that it's right there at Canton and Ackett Street, right at that intersection of Canton and Ackett Street, right across the street from the Convention Center, from the Dallas Convention Center, is T-Ball. But in the gallery there, and the exhibit is Building from Scratch, Sustaining the Legacy of an Institution and its People. And that gallery, by the way, is named the James Keith Gallery, named in honor of one of our Dallas very talented visual artists. So we want to go and tour that exhibit. We want to go and tour that exhibit. Building from Scratch, Sustaining the Legacy of an Institution and its People. And it goes through August 27, by the way. It opened the 1st of July, and it goes through August 27. Now, the gallery hours are, they're not open on Monday, but they're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and on Saturdays from noon to 4. Okay? So, see what all they've got there. A lot of memorabilia, vintage, contemporary photographs, there's film footage, there are documents, there's even oral histories. So it's a lot there. Now, one other thing going on this Saturday at T-Ball, it's called the Giving Back Reunion Gala. Giving Back. And so what this is that, Curtis King every summer trains and gives opportunities for young upcoming public school students to learn the ins and outs and the front of the stage and behind the stage, lighting and camera and staging and moving props and working the sound. And it's all about theater that goes beyond performing and acting on the stage. So he trains these students during the summer. And so those who have graduated and come through the program, this Saturday, they're going to have what they call Giving Back Summer Arts Institute Alumni Reunion Gala. Yeah, they're going to get together for a reunion gala. And there's all kind of activities. 5 to 7, they're having a thing called Step and Repeat. And you can find out what that is. And then from 5:30 to 6:30, There's a VIP pre-gala reception. Then there's a dinner from 7 to 10. And then from 10 to 1, y'all are going to get down on the floor. They're going to dance and celebrate and have fellowship and what have you. But it's a reunion of all the folk who have come through that program. And now they're going to see what they can do. And it is a fundraiser. It's a fundraiser to help these current students and future current students who are going to come through this program and to make sure that this program continues. It's called the Summer Art Institute. And so that's going to be something. If you've had anything, if you've gone to any of their productions, they just did one on the achievements of Erykah Badu. And so the students acted out the life of Erykah Badu and her music and all of that. That was this summer's project. And last year, they did the same for Beyonce. They did a play on the life and and artistry, performing artistry of Beyonce. And those young people, they produced, okay? Everything from the ones who were acting on stage to the ones who did lighting and camera and moving props around and the sound and all of that. So it's a valuable thing to give to. So we're getting ready to get out of here. We did just recently have the fibroid. Well, this whole month is Fibroid Awareness Month, and so we've been having the health people and city officials have been doing self care things to help promote awareness of fibroids, and the self care fair has been set up for that. And that is this Saturday as well. This Saturday as well from 11 a.m. to 3. And it's going to be at the Fantasy Harris Youth Center on East Grand. The Fantasy Harris Youth Center on East Grand, 4212 East Grand. And there's everything you need to know about self-care and fibroids during Fibroid Awareness Month, and it's sponsored by the Dallas Barbara Jordan Leadership Institute and another effort called After Eight to Educate. And they're getting help from the state of Texas and Dallas County and the city of Dallas. They're helping with this. So get involved with that. So everybody, we want you to, as Teddy Pendergrass, as we get ready to say our adios, Teddy Pendergrass reminds us that we want to wake up. We want to wake up. Teddy Pendergrass and Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, there's such a message in this piece that they have done over many years. And the message is, wake up. What you gonna do? You gonna stay asleep in the bed? You gonna close your eyes? You're not gonna notice the world about you? You're not gonna get up out of bed and go out there and do something? Wake up, sleepwalk like zombies? No. No more backwards thinking. Now it's time to think ahead, because the world has changed so very much. And I can't tell if Teddy is playing in the background, but I think he's playing in the background. So I'm just telling you what he's saying. He said the world has changed so very much from what it used to be. And, oh, my gosh, if this isn't prophetic, he says there's so much hatred, so much war, so much poverty. Oh, my goodness. And so then he talks to the teachers. He says, wake up all the
wake
teachers.
Up everybody, no more sleeping.
It's time to teach a new way.
No more back to things.
He says, maybe then the students will listen to what you have to
so
say.
Much,
because guess what? The students are the ones who are coming up in the world. Is in their hands, and Travis Wortham Jr., our guest for today, gave us a, oh my gosh, very insightful, portrayal of the world being in the hands of this current generation. So he's reminding the teachers to teach them a new way. So we have to admit that sometimes we all have teachers who love everybody in the same category, but we got to try new things. We got to reach the individual. We got to try to reach the individual too. So the teachers got to find a new way. If you're not getting through, you got to try a new way.
Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, it's time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. Only thing we have to do, put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it. Just you and me.
Help, yeah.
Bring up everybody.